Hello, everyone, and welcome to the New Jersey Devils Happy Hour podcast. This is episode 4, back from the All-Star Break edition. Took a little break last week because of the lack of games and the All-Star weekend. So we got a lot to cover, a lot of crazy stuff. Going to talk about the All-Star weekend, talk about the past couple of games. So let's dive into it. So we'll start things off and quickly run through the two games before the All-Star break that I wanted to touch on. We had the Winnipeg game, Devils won 3-1. Great game all around, especially to fly all the way out there. You know, sometimes they can be a little jet lag, come out slow. They came out strong. I think Stemniak had the first goal, and it was uphill from there, or downhill, or whatever you want to call it. But either way, you know, they get the win. Nice game. And then the game before the All-Star break against Pittsburgh, division rival, you would have liked to see them come out a little bit stronger. They get shut out. Kind of a sour note to go into All-Star weekend. But that's okay. We came back strong. We'll talk about those games that we just played after the All-Star break in a second. But I just wanted to touch on the All-Star game too. Otherwise known as National John Scott Weekend, new holiday, John Scott Day, whatever you want to call it. And, you know, the media frenzy around this guy. And I just wanted to touch on it real quick. Gotta talk about John Scott. Gotta do it. The horse has already been beaten to death. He's all bloodied, and he's on his last breath. And I'm just going to take out the baseball bat real quick. Finish the f***ing job. Let's talk about John Scott. And you know, it was amazing how it all played out. But, you know, to the fans, I think the whole thing is just, no one expected that John Scott would be such a great guy. No one expected that he would handle it so well. You know, so for the fans to just pat themselves on the back, like they made this guy's day. You know what? The fans didn't have such great intentions in the first place. The whole idea of sending John Scott there was to exploit the system. It's a stupid system, the fan vote. Because what happens with the fan vote is the players that are, it's a popularity contest. It's not necessarily reflective of the most talented people in the league. So the internet, you know, being the revolutionaries that they are, they can't fucking go out and vote in the political process, but I'll be damned, they'll go out and vote for the All-Star game and they'll make a statement. They'll say no to the NHL shitty system. There will be a revolution, and they'll make it a joke too. Let's vote for this guy because he sucks so bad, even though he's in the National Hockey League. And John Scott said it himself in the article, the Players Tribune article. He said everyone's acting like I'm some handicapped guy. I'm a professional athlete at the end of the day, and he's right. You know, he goes out and he scores a couple goals, maybe because he's in the most competitive league in the world, the most competitive hockey league, you know? And they treat him like he won the golden ticket, Willy Wonka. You know, he's a Make-A-Wish Foundation kid that never skated in his life. No, the guy's an athlete, and it's insanely disrespectful to the guy. And, you know, props on him for having the time of his life, taking it in stride, and you know, he got the last laugh, and I'm proud of him for that. But for the fans to pat themselves on the back, and then everyone just treat him like he's some sad, like, you know, that's just played out. It's stupid. It's stupid that the NHL tried to banish him to Newfoundland when his wife is pregnant with twins. That's horrible. So, you know, congratulations, internet fans. You really did something. Now maybe go out and vote for the fucking next president of the United States, because that process is a shit show right now. Christ. Gears are already getting grinded. I'm not even on Grind My Gears segment. So let's move on. Let's get back into some Devils hockey. And let's move past the All-Star break, talk about the last two games. Very exciting games. And We'll start off. Actually, this you know what, will take us right into everyone's favorite segment, the Grinds My Gears segment. And I'll tell you what really grinds my gears. New York Rangers fans. Unbelievable, I know, on a Devils podcast. But let me tell you something, okay? I was at the game on Tuesday. I gotta say, one of the best games of hockey I've been to, probably since the Eastern Conference Finals in 2012 against the Rangers. But I gotta say, I feel like, you know, when I went to the Eastern Conference Finals games back in 2012, there were plenty of Rangers fans there, but they had a little bit more respect for the team. They knew we were a good hockey team. They knew to keep their mouths shut for the most part. And now, on Tuesday, the amount of fans, there was a lot of Rangers fans. Let me tell you, a lot of Rangers fans. You know what? That's all right. You want to come to the arena? Fine. Come to the arena. But what really got to me is these fat, drunk bastards that, you know the guy I'm talking about. The 45-year-old construction worker from the Bronx that took the train over. He probably beats his wife every day. That guy, you know, wouldn't it be funny if we go to the Devils game and we start shit? Those are the kind of guys where, you know, like I said, you come to the arena, all right, but they're starting chants. They're trying to get to, you know, they're sitting there. You're just sitting there all of a sudden. Let's go, Rangers! Yeah, f***ing drunk-ass motherfucker. Get out of the arena. Go home. Go back to your smelly island. You know? So I think what it was, these are the same people that came out last year. We were a horrible team last year. They beat us up. Last game of the season, everyone's high-fiving, and they think they can take our building. But I think Tuesday was a huge game because it showed all those Rangers fans that, you know what, we're a better team this year. We are not messing around. So it was really nice to get a win in the house, shut the fans up, shut the Rangers fans up. And, you know, Corey said it in a post-game interview. He said, I'm glad our fans got to cheer last and cheer loudest. And he's right, you know, because it's the tension and the weird atmosphere in the arena in the first period, it was weird, let me tell you. Because there was this tension there, and then, you know, the Rangers fans trying to get some chance in, trying to rustle some feathers. Like, I get it, you know, you're there, your team scores, go crazy, cheer. And especially they score first, so now you're like, oh god, these Rangers fans are going to lose their shit. But, you know, I get it. You want to go there and you want to cheer for your team. Okay. But show some respect. Show some respect for the building you're in. God, it's disgusting. What kills me is they have no right. Their team is garbage. They have no right to act. They act like their team just won 4 Stanley Cups or something. You know, they haven't won a cup in this millennium. All right? Someone remind these people that. They got no class. They got no cups. And they want to come into our arena. It's Zuccarello. First of all, Zuccarello doesn't do anything the whole game. But every time he's even remotely near the ice, you get the Rangers fans with the zoo chant. Get out of here. Get out of here. Go back to Lord of the Rings, hey, Zuccarello, you f***ing hobbit. Guy looks like a hobbit. You ever see this clown? Christ. Remember they want to start the Hank chants, the king with no cup? I didn't see Henrik at the All-Star game. You know? And I swear, there's two types of Rangers fans. I touched on the one before. The one is the guy, he's in the Gretzky jersey. He's been watching the Rangers his whole life. He's 40. He works construction out in the Bronx. You know this guy. He's a loudmouth piece of garbage. And he specifically comes to the games to start shit. You got those guys, okay? And the other type, and I'm telling you, there's only two. So it's either this guy or it's the FIDI bros, as they call them, the Financial District Wall Street Bros, which, you know, I was lucky enough to have really decent seats at this game, lower bowl. But you know when you're down there, you know the type of fans you're getting. And it's basically, if you go to an MSG game, it's, you know, half the arena is these Wall Street Bros. They're not even paying attention to the game, but they throw in the occasional Rangers cheer. Then none of them are wearing, they're all just like, they're straight out of work, all greased up. They probably just short sold some stocks and probably collapsed the economy. And they want to celebrate by coming to the Devils game, not paying attention for half of it. You know, the puck drops, they're not even there yet. And that's not to say that the Devils don't have fans like that too. You know, anytime you're in the lower bowl, you get, which is a whole nother issue in itself. The fact that our lower bowl is so expensive, the club seats, you go to other arenas, all around the lower bowl is about the same price. For us, we jack it up for the Fire Lounge so you could get an undercooked hamburger with your ticket, and they're going to charge you an extra $200 for that. And that's what makes it, when you're looking at a broadcast of the game, a lot of times you see those big, gray, empty, glaring empty seats. The whole rest of the arena can be packed, but you see these big, gray, empty seats, and a fan looks at that, and they go, man, why can't the Devils bring anyone out? Little do they know, the whole rest of the arena is packed. But, you know, it was a great turnout for the Devils-Rangers game. And despite the back and forth between the Rangers and the Devils fans, it was a fun atmosphere. It was a clutch game for us to win. And it was great to shut those Rangers fans up, like I said. So, you know, maybe next time they walk into our building, they have a little bit more respect. And that's something you got to earn, you know. You don't make the playoffs 3 years in a row. These greasy Wall Street bros and their drunk construction worker friends are going to try and invade your building. Okay, bring it on. We got a team now. We're a couple points behind them. And that's another thing I'm going to touch on in a little bit. But let's first talk about the game itself. I could rant about Rangers fans. I mean, I'm sure you can all relate. You could have a whole 3-hour podcast of what's wrong with these people. Same with the people of Philadelphia. But let's talk about the game itself. What was nice in the Devils-Rangers game it's a game where we gave up the first goal, which is usually not a good sign. Usually you give up the first goal, you get defeated, but we bounced back. We had some clutch goals, we had some guys step up. Blantyzy once again, just looking great out there. Turns on the Jets, scores a nice goal against Dan Girardi, who the Rangers fans will be, well, you know, great goal by Blantyzy, but it was against Girardi. This is the same thing you see every time. I talked about last episode where they just refuse to give us credit for the work we put in. Rangers fans, Calgary fans, anyone. I made the example last episode where Henrik had the great shift against Calgary. And they go, yeah, well, it was against Weidman, though. Blantyzy turns on the Jets. Yeah, well, it was Girardi. He's real slow. How about Blandizzi's fast as shit? If that was Dylan Larkin, the internet they'd still be praising him. Burst of speed. Fastest skater in the game. I'd like to see Blantyzy and Larkin go head-to-head in a little skate-off. I'm not so sure Larkin would win every time. But they love talking about him. Oh, they love that. So, anyway, another guy I want to talk about. And it's funny, I had written down a note before the All-Star break to talk about Schlemko and his offensive ability. And then what do you know? Schlemko with two clutch goals in the past two games. The Rangers game, you had the game-winning goal. Then, you know, another clutch goal against Toronto should have been the game winner. That's a whole nother thing. But what I've noticed with Schlemko, he's not afraid to jump in on the play, and he's got moves. He makes people look silly out there. It's great to watch. You know, especially on the power play, you'll see him. He'll get the puck at the point, and instead of passing it, doing whatever, he'll put a move on a fool, a little quick spin move. Next thing you know, he's driving towards the net, and he's got room. And he's sniping it short side. So you like seeing Schlemko really getting on his game. 6 goals, I think, this year. He's in the top, it was 5 or 6 in points on our team. Defender, he's got the most points for a defenseman on the team. Most goals scored in his NHL career. So he's really a valuable asset to the team. You look at Larson and Green, 2 shutdown defenders. The little things that those guys do every game. Larson last game against Toronto just broke up what would have been an empty net shot for Kadri, I think. It might have been the power play. They passed the puck over, and Larson broke it up, and he does that every game. Same with Green. When they're out there and the other team's coming in on a fast break, I trust that Green or Larson will shut him down. That's nice. But then you move on. You got Schlemko and you got Moore, who have kind of the offensive upside to them, maybe prone to turn the puck over more. What was scary against the Rangers was Schlemko with the blind pass, because he gets cute with the puck. Same with Blandisi, that, you know, when you have that stick handling ability, sometimes you try and pull it out in the wrong places. And Schlemko against the Rangers could have been a horrible mistake. Blind pass, gives up a shorthanded breakaway going the other way. But then, you know what? What is it? 1-2 minutes later, comes back and scores the game-winning goal. So, totally redeems himself. And then on the completely other side of the spectrum, you got this guy, Eric Jelena, who, like, I want to love. I want Jelena to be good. And every game I see him on the ice, I say, okay, maybe this is the game where he steps up. And every game he's out there, it's not. And you keep seeing him make, he doesn't look confident. He's probably one of the only guys out there that doesn't have the confidence bug that the rest of these guys have. What's been great about the team this year is that everyone is feeding off of each other's energy. So because Palmieri's stepping up in the play and he's making big plays, other guys around him are confident. Because our defenders are making big plays, you know, I talk about Schlemko, other guys are confident. Then you come to Eric Jelena, you see him skating out there. It's like it's his first time stepping on it. He's so nervous. And he doesn't know what to do when he has the puck. And a lot of times he's turning the puck over. Look at the Rangers game. He pinched in on what led to the first goal of the game when he just should, like, there was no reason for him to pinch in. Next thing you know, Rangers got a 2-on-1 the other day, they going the other way, and they score. And I don't know who his defensive partner was, but if I was his defensive partner on that play, I would not be happy with him going to the bench. I would say, dude, you're going to just leave me out to dry like that? You're pinching in. Look, I like the fact that he's got a hard shot. Obviously, you like that. But he rarely gets to use it, and it doesn't even go in as much as it used to. So, hopefully he can step it up. If not, the good news is we got other guys in the defensive pipeline that have talent that could step it up, replace him. Maybe you sell Jelena. I don't know what you even get in return for him. But that's okay. We'll figure it out. So now let's talk about yesterday's game against Toronto. And this game, this game is the reason why I made this podcast, okay? Because the reaction from the fans after we lost last night, that's the reason why I made this podcast. The negativity, everyone freaking out, about the loss. And look, you need to get a win there. I get that. But you take the point. And we played our... You know, it's not for lack of effort on the Devils' side. 37 saves by Kincaid, and you still have people... Oh, Kincaid's horrible. The guy did everything he possibly could to keep us in that game. It's 2-1 with 2 minutes left, and you got to tip your hat to Toronto. They came hard. They pulled the goalie, and they set up a beautiful play to tie the game. No goalie in the league is stopping that shot. You know, it went past like five guys. Kincaid can't see the puck there. And then it just squeezes in the most... There was barely any room for that puck to go in. And it went in. That happens. That's okay. And after every loss, it's funny, you know? We go on this... Look, we're 5-1-1 in our last seven games. That's not enough for people. We lose one game. And the same concerns. I don't think this is a playoff team. I'm losing faith. We always choke when push comes to shove and we can move into a divisional playoff spot. We always choke. That's the rhetoric you hear. Would you call that a choke job last night? No. No. First of all, we scored 4 goals. You want to talk about that? you know, one of which, Gianta was a half step offside. If he's not an offside there, that's a shorthanded goal for Gio. I mean, he was offside, so the goal doesn't count, but the puck went in the net, that's a goal there. So you count that one. Say Gio's onside there, you count that one. You win the game in the regulation. Okay, you don't want to say that one should have counted. Understandable, he's offsides. Let's go to the other one where we score. The puck was still loose in the crease, and we got an early whistle from the ref. Blows the play dead. So the play's dead. Can't review it. Move on. Those are two instances where we put the puck in the net. Everyone's going to complain. We can't score. We can't do anything right. We can't win a game when this shit hits the fan. Give me a break. Cheer up, people. They did everything they could. You know, sometimes you lose a game in a shootout. And it hadn't been since, like, December. That we've gone to a shootout in the first place. So, you know, let's relax before we want to throw in the season, throw in the towel for the season. I say this every single episode. We're not gonna, you know, we're gonna be a fringe team. You're gonna have moments like this. There's the ups and downs, and let's not forget we were without Camilleri, the top point getter on the team. And what happened when we were without him before? We went on like a 3-game losing streak. So that's what people tend to forget when they freak out. Of course you want the extra point. At the end of the day, you get a point, you move on. You got the Caps coming up. And look at what we've done against teams. When we go to face a team that at that time is one of the best teams in the league, we usually play well. We swept the series against Chicago. We beat up on Dallas. Montreal, before their monumental collapse, we probably helped that out a little bit. We beat them when they were up there, too. So, you know, have some confidence in the team. Take the positives and you move on. Of course, to say that kind of... You know, that's the Devils of 2 years ago, where we had 13 shootout losses. Maybe not 13 shootout losses, but 13 overtime losses and a lot of shootout losses, and nothing was going right. Now we have guys that can score in the shootout. Josephson put a great move on Reimer, and he hit the nub of his stick. Otherwise, the puck's going in. That's just a bad break. And the other chance Josephson had rang off the pipe in regulation. So, you know, to call that a choke job, that's not a choke job. You know what a choke job is? A choke job is when you're up 3 goals going into the third period of a game 7 in the playoffs and you blow it. That's a choke job. Ask the Leafs about that. They know choke jobs. Just the negativity that comes after every single loss. They're not going to win every game. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, folks. But as long as they're on an upward trend, they're doing the right things, they take the positives, they move on, they're going to have a shot. Now, I hate to say it, it's probably going to come down to the last handful of games at this rate. And that's scary. You don't want a season to come down to like the last 2 games, you got to win them and you're in. But it could. And I got to say, if it comes down to that, this team has the capability. Because believe it or not, what the other people want you to say is that, oh, we choke when the going gets tough. No, not really. They've had some clutch wins this year. They came out against the Rangers. That's a huge game. 2-0 against the Rangers. You'd love to see them keep up that streak they have right now against the Rangers. You'd love to see them put some work in against the Caps. This is a big month. There's still plenty of room for us to gain ground this month. One shootout loss is not going to just sink the whole ship, you know? So let's look at the bright side. We got Blandizzi still just putting in work. He maybe a little overzealous at times. In overtime last game, he had a huge opportunity for a breakaway. Fell. I don't know if something was wrong with his skate. He's got, obviously, he's a young kid. He's going to make those mistakes, but he still does a lot of things right. Even that same overtime period, he was put a nice spinorama on someone, held on to the puck, set up Palmieri with a great feed. Could have been the game winner there. And that's what's really funny, though, is if we win that game, all the fans go crazy. They pat themselves on the back and they say, this team's amazing. And then, you know, we go and lose against Washington and it's the end of the world. Things are going to happen. It's hockey. Come on, folks. I get Toronto's a bad team, but they're on a tear right now. They're not backing down. And we didn't lay down and die. We could have came out a little bit stronger. Game shouldn't have went into overtime, but it happens. So you take the point and you move on. Now we're in a wild card spot. I know there's everyone has games in hand. I feel like that always happens to us. I don't know what is with the scheduling, but I feel like every season we are always the team with like the most games played compared to everyone else. How does that even work? I don't know. And now we got back-to-back coming up Monday, Tuesday. Yeah, Saturday, Monday, Tuesday games. And then what? I don't know. Are we off for like 3 weeks? Because we're going to have so many games in hand against everyone else. But that's okay. That's okay. You come out, you put in your work, then you don't worry about the rest of the league. As long as we put in our work, we keep doing what we do, it's going to be a big month. So, you know, next 3 games coming up, we got Capitals, we got the Rangers, and we got Edmonton. Games you'd like to see, you know, you got to get points. You got to get points in every game. Whether it's you know, an overtime loss or a regulation win, you got to get points. So and I think they're capable. They're totally capable of doing that. I don't think John Hines is ready to let this team lay down and die. Maybe some of the fans are. But you're playing yourself. You're absolutely playing yourself if you just expect us to go on a 20-game winning streak. You're playing yourself. It's going to be tough, folks. But all you got to do is you look at last year. At the end of the season, we were 20 points out of a playoff spot. We're in the thick of it. Heck, if we were in the Pacific Division, we're in second place right now. Okay? So just quit your whining, everybody. Let's cheer up. Let's move forward. And let's finish the season strong. And they're capable of doing that. and I look forward to these next couple of games. I'm sure I'll have a lot to talk about next week. Looking forward to it. So with that said, I will see you guys then. This is Joe Reggio signing out from Asbury Park, New Jersey. Let's go, Devils. Stay happy.